In his last words, Christ tells us we are to be his witnesses in our communities, in our cities, in our nations, and to the ends of the earth. This is the Acts 1:8 Challenge. Accept this challenge today, and your church can become part of this worldwide mission. You're listening to the Acts 1:8 Challenge podcast.
This is Tim Yarbrough with the Acts 1:8 Challenge. I have with me here today Mark Harrison. Mark Harrison is missions pastor of Old Town Baptist Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. How are you today, Mark?
I'm doing great. That's kind of a mouthful,
isn't it? It is. Man, we are sitting here in a coffee shop, a makeshift podcast studio, just having a good old time, sipping a little. But what was this coffee?
Jamaica Me Crazy.
All right.
It's good.
Yeah, it is good. Very good. And what's the name of this coffee shop?
It's called Casanova's.
Casanova's, yeah.
In Louisville, North Carolina.
I'm afraid this beats Starbucks.
This is really nice. It's like a candy shop, too.
Yeah.
Over here, so.
Well, I've known Mark for a number of years. Mark is former pastor of Cumming Baptist Church in Cumming, Georgia, and that's where we got to know each other. In fact, I preached in his church in his absence.
That's right.
And we've had a really good time getting to know each other. And what did you say, about 10 months ago? I guess it was.
I arrived here.
In Winston-Salem to become missions pastor of Old Town Baptist Church.
That's right.
I tell you what, there's been some exciting things going on at Old Town. And I wanted to for Mark to share a little bit about all that. First, Mark, tell us just a little bit about your mission field. What it's like here in Winston-Salem area, and particularly Old Town's mission field. Maybe a little bit of history about that name. That's an interesting name.
Yeah, the name Old Town Baptist kind of makes you think of a stodgy, old, stuffy kind of church congregation, and that's not the case of our congregation at all. They're very open to what God wants to do in and through us and missions. In fact, when I considered coming here, it was kind of a different kind of move than I ever expected to make, from being a senior pastor to being a missions pastor and associate pastor on the staff. And I had a little anxiety about that, but once I got to know our pastor, who is Rick Spees, and then once I got to know something of the heartbeat of the congregation, it made it really easy, because I sort of walked into a situation where they're ready to do more than they had been doing already in terms of missions locally to globally and everywhere in between. But the name Old Town really has a connection to missions, too, because the Winston-Salem area was initially settled by the Moravians, who were some of the most evangelical of Christians a couple of hundred years ago. And they settled in this area, came from Pennsylvania. And there's a place near our church, a community called Bethabara. And that's where they originally settled. They sent down a sort of an exploratory group to find the best place to settle.
Yeah, yeah.
They settled initially in Bethabara. Then they found the location of Salem, which is now Old Salem.
Yeah.
It's part of Winston-Salem. And so after they moved from Bethabara to Salem, the people would go back to Bethabara from time to time. And they would say, well, we're going to go back to Old Town. So that's how the community where our church is got its name.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with the church being old and stodgy.
Yeah.
It just has to do with that part of the Winston-Salem area.
Yeah, well, I tell you what you've been telling me and what the church is doing in missions and the way that missions are developing, there is nothing old and stodgy about it. There's nothing old and stodgy about it. Tell me just a little bit about what you were sharing about your transition from being a senior pastor to missions pastor, and kind of the open door you had for developing a new missional environment at Old Town.
Okay. Well, the people, before I arrived, the people were very involved in missions, particularly on a local level. There were a lot of local ministries that they were hands-on involved in and giving financial support to as well, including a crisis pregnancy center type environment, prison ministry, a number of people who were involved in feeding those who are homeless.
Yeah.
Providing resources to needy families and some of the network of local ministries that were going on. And so they had that involvement, very supportive of denominational ministries through the mission offerings and those kinds of things.
And your pastor's president of the North Carolina Convention.
That's right. Currently he is president. He is about halfway through his second year of being the president. And I think he's had some great experiences there. But he's about to wind that term down. So the church has been highly connected to all that Southern Baptists have been about for many years.
Yes.
But they long to do more,
mm-hmm.
and to expand those ministries into some new areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pastor Rick and the congregation work together, develop a plan to call a missions pastor,
mm-hmm.
to help them to not only enhance what they already had going on,
mm-hmm.
but to expand mm-hmm. the reach of the church, mm-hmm. and the ministry of the church into new areas.
And so you're the first missions pastor.
That's right.
Has ever been in Old
That's
Town.
Right. That's
wow.
right. They had a young man one time, a seminary student, who did some work part time with them. But,
mm-hmm.
but as far as our first
full time paid
pastor
position,
with,
yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. with a missions focus, that would be me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really feel like I walked into, as I told them, I said, I'm here to jump on a train that's already moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really walked into an opportunity where they were ready to go somewhere. We're already going
yeah.
somewhere.
Yeah.
They just needed somebody to help them and to guide them along the way to go
yeah.
even further than they had
but
been.
That's a great observation because, you know, pastors many times ask me, mission pastors and senior pastors ask me, well, what can embracing an Acts 1-8 paradigm of missions through an initiative like the Acts 1-8 Challenge, what can it bring to the table for my church?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what that kind of emphasis helped build in your church, maybe provide a little better framework for understanding.
Yeah. I think that's exactly it. Before they ever heard, really, of the Acts 1-8 Challenge,
mm-hmm.
they were already living the Acts 1-8 Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
They already had that that momentum and that vision going. They just didn't have a paradigm or framework to set down on
yeah.
top of it
yeah.
to help them understand more clearly. First of all, the biblical mandate
mm-hmm.
and the strategy, really, that Acts 1-8 lines out.
Yes.
The strategy that Jesus gave all churches
mm-hmm.
to be engaged
mm-hmm.
in mission.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they were already on the move, so to speak. They just didn't know what to call what they're
yeah,
doing.
Sure.
In terms, and that's what I like about the Acts 1-8 Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a denominational program per
mm-hmm.
se.
Mm-hmm.
It is a biblical strategy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a framework for understanding how we do missions
mm-hmm.
and how we live as missional people
mm-hmm.
in the world, at home, across the street, and around the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I know you're doing some very creative things with your mission offering and the way that that's changed and changing. But I also don't want to leave this podcast without asking you a little bit about where you're involved, where your partnerships are, and how you're working both in the Winston-Salem area and then, of course, throughout North America and around the world. So I don't know where you want to start. Tell us a little bit about the offering or whether what you're doing. But
well, let me say that, you know, having only been here about 10 months, all of our partnerships are still
developing,
some degree of developmental
yeah.
stage.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the church was highly engaged already with a number of local ministries,
mm-hmm.
and they continue to do that. Many of the Sunday school classes have particular ministries
mm-hmm.
that they emphasize among
yeah,
their Sunday
absolutely.
School class
yeah.
and that kind of thing. So it's not like I had to come here and create the wheel or
yeah.
anything.
Yeah.
You know? But what we're doing and where we have been at work is we have connected primarily with missionaries, with groups at work, where there's already some measure of connection within the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we have a group that will be traveling to India this coming fall to work with missionaries that the church has had a relationship with for a
mm-hmm.
number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And these missionaries have been in our church a number of times. They have a friendship with our pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Is how it
started.
So
there's a connection there already?
There's a connection, that's right. And what's neat to see about that is God has opened up some other opportunities through our state convention. There's an opportunity to adopt a village in the state of Bihar in India and provide for them a water well, provide for them a church planter to
yes.
work with them,
yeah.
Some remedial education
yeah.
for their children, and a number of other things. Well, what's really cool is that those two states where we're going to be working with that missionary couple that our pastor has known for years,
yeah.
those two states are joined together.
Mm-hmm.
So not only will our team be able to work with that missionary couple in the state of Uttar Pradesh,
yeah.
but after we're done there, we'll be able to go to Bihar and visit the people who are working to establish a connection for us with the village in Bihar.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then internationally on
the sounds
another,
like a God thing.
It really is. All this seems like a God thing.
Yeah.
Me, so
yeah.
I'm just glad to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Also, what's very interesting is this past fall, we had a team go to Thailand to do a medical clinic mm-hmm. in the northeast of Thailand mm-hmm. with some missionaries that are from the Cumming area, actually, that I've had a relationship with for several years. So we went there, we did the medical clinic, and God opened an opportunity for me to go into another country that's nearby and do some work there
okay.
And meet some folks who are serving him there.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, once I've gotten home a few months later, come to find out, there are refugees from that very area of the world who are now moving into the Winston-Salem area.
You're kidding.
And by the end of September, there are going to be 400 to 500 refugees
wow.
from that country where I was able to visit last fall. And so we've already begun the steps necessary to get involved in that, to bring an international flair to missions on a local level. Yeah.
So you're making that connection here, right here in North America.
That's right. That's right.
That's amazing with the people group.
A people group from halfway around the world.
That sounds like a God thing again.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Thank God for God things.
Amen.
Where would we be
yeah. Wow.
Without those.
Yeah.
And that's the cool thing, is that we just make ourselves available to Him to do missions, to live missions mm-hmm. through the connections that we already mm-hmm. have. And He just takes them to heights
yeah.
that we never imagined they would go.
That's right.
And it's just amazing to watch Him do that kind of work.
Well, tell us about. Just kind of give us a quick overview of what you're doing to lead your congregation in missions, both locally, regionally, in their Judea, and then Samaria as well.
Okay. All right. Well, one of the key components to our strategy involves the funding for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you increase your involvement in missions, of course, there's a financial component to that.
Yes.
It takes money to do missions,
oh, yeah.
frankly.
Yeah.
And so one of the key things I had to look at when I first came here was I had a budget in a certain area
mm-hmm.
that really would not allow us to do the kinds of things that the church gave me the mandate to do or
yeah.
to help them do
yeah.
as the missions pastor.
Yeah.
So the pastor and I got together and we began to talk about it and prayed about it to see how we might increase our ability to be involved financially
mm-hmm.
in a number of ways. So we came up with, or God gave us, another God thing,
yeah.
A strategy that we call the Acts 1-8 Challenge Offering.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we do is we emphasize that offering throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we get these little cool packets of offering envelopes sent to our house
mm-hmm.
every month,
mm-hmm.
every member of the church does. And then there is an offering envelope for each week
mm-hmm.
for people's tithes, and then there's an offering envelope in there every month for the Acts 1-8 Challenge offering.
Mm-hmm.
And how that got really accomplished was that we have a church here who doesn't have any debt and has large facilities that we haven't maxed out yet. So
yeah.
there's not really any need for any
building program or anything like that.
That's
yeah.
right. Mm-hmm. Not currently.
Yeah.
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
In God's timing. But they were still taking up a building offering and had a few hundred thousand dollars in there, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And people were faithfully giving to that along the way. And so what we decided to do, under God's leadership, I believe, but in consultation with the pastor and the other financial leaders of our church, we just felt like God wanted us to shift the focus from the facilities and the buildings and begin to point people's time, energy, and their resources toward the mission of the
yeah,
church.
Yeah.
And so we established this Acts 1-8 Challenge offering. And through that offering, we fund the work of the mission ministry of our church. In fact, when I proposed that plan to them, although I didn't have a great deal of money in the budget for missions, not as much as I thought I needed, I chose to cut that amount in half. And yet through the Acts 1-8 Challenge offering, we're going to more than triple the investment that we're making missions local and local.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So the people are giving very faithfully, and already this is only, May right
yeah,
now,
yeah.
and we're about 60% of what I anticipated to be the offering needs for the total offering
for the entire
for the whole year. Yeah,
wow.
already. And what we do with that is that the ministries that are local, like the Crisis Pregnancy Center that I mentioned a while ago,
mm-hmm.
the ministries to the homeless and all of that, we have chosen to incorporate all of that rather than taking up numerous offerings for those local
mm-hmm.
things throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
We have incorporated those into our Acts 1-8 Challenge offering.
Mm-hmm.
And through our giving to those on a percentage basis out of the Acts 1-8 Challenge offering, we're actually going to be able to give more than we gave when we had those funds come through the budget or through special
mm-hmm,
offerings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Now, we are doing something a little bit different, though, than what most people do. We still receive three major seasonal offerings throughout the year.
So you just didn't go to one offering.
Yeah, we didn't go totally to one offering. Yeah. We're still receiving the state missions offering in the fall as a separate offering. And we're receiving the Annie Armstrong offering for North American missions, as well as the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions at their seasonal times every year. But what's really cool about the Acts 1-8 offering, and it was one of the things that was most appealing to some of the folks in our congregation, in addition to those seasonal offerings, a percentage of our Acts 1-8 challenge offering goes to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and the state missions offering.
So it's almost like
well.
A challenge budget.
It is.
Aspect,
it is.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and our giving, our percentage from the Acts 1-8 Challenge offering supplements that seasonal giving that the people are already accustomed to doing.
You were telling me something very interesting. You had asked me earlier when we were talking, have you ever witnessed applause following a business meeting?
Yeah, yeah.
And tell me a little bit about what you were meaning by that. And I told you the only time I'd ever witnessed applause was the calling of a pastor.
Yeah.
But you said this was just during regular business. Tell us what that's about.
Well, what happens with our Acts 1-8 Challenge offering, and when we develop that, work through that, I made a presentation of that plan to the congregation. And by the way, our deacons, when I presented it to them, they said, well, this is amazing. We've been waiting on something like this. Mm-hmm. We knew you were going to need more money to do more missions through our congregation, and so we're excited about it. So when I presented the plan for the Acts 1-8 Challenge offering to the church conference, people began to applaud. Mm-hmm. There was just a raucous applause for 2 minutes.
Spontaneous. Wow.
And it was almost like a standing ovation. it was amazing. Really
go,
cool thing.
Go God.
That's right. Amen. Go God.
Yeah.
And for people to embrace that is a very
That's
exciting
amazing.
Thing. And so now, once a month, we, you know, I guess some people would say, yeah, they're an Old Town church because they have once a month business meetings.
Yeah.
We still do that. But what's really cool, we just had one this past Wednesday night. I share every month a report of what has happened through our Acts 1-8 Challenge investments, not only with our money, but also with our physical resources, our time and our talents and people's energy. And I share a report of how much money we've received, what projects we've been involved in, and how we've used those funds and how people have invested themselves in the ministry. I often show a video and a PowerPoint presentation of some of the partners that we've partnered with. And every time I do that, I get another round of applause.
Wow.
So it's just exciting to
you
see
said
that
something,
kind of environment.
You said something that's very interesting a minute ago. I don't know if you said it. I don't know if you meant to say it this way or not, but you present what we're doing with our Acts 1-8 Challenge investment.
Yeah.
I love that.
I use the word investment. I don't talk about the offering. I don't really talk much about giving.
Wow.
I talk in terms of, these are investments, because what we're doing is we're investing in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And the returns on that are a whole lot better than the stock market, especially lately.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right about that. Well, Old Town Baptist Church is not a small church, but not a mega church by any stretch of the imagination either. I think you told me you run, what, about 500 in worship?
Yeah,
something
around
like that.
450 to 500.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not a small church, but it's not really a large church either, per se. And what's really neat is that the folks in the congregation, really, even sooner than you would typically expect it in the life cycle of a church, chose to focus their energy and their resources in terms of their staffing on missions. And already you can see some incredible benefit to the whole life of the church.
Yeah.
Because after all, that's what God is about.
Yeah.
God is a missional God.
Amen.
He's about, you know, Jesus is the greatest missionary who's ever come
Amen.
Into the world. And he was sent to share the love of Christ with people and to demonstrate the character of God among people living in incarnational ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're called to do. Wherever we are and wherever God allows us to be, whether it's right here at home or whether it's halfway around the world.
That's such an awesome word you just shared, and I know that's an encouragement for a lot of pastors out there, mission pastors that are listening to this, because, you know, missions is one of those things which, as Southern Baptists, we have always been about.
That's right.
And this sounds kind of bad to say it this way, but we're kind of expected to do.
Right.
At the same time, some of us have a hard time getting our hands around it.
Sure.
And I'm asked by pastors and mission pastors many times, well, what is this Acts 1-8 challenge all about? And what I share with them is that's what it's about. It's about helping you lead your church to do missional activity, but ultimately with the outcome of bringing worshipers into the kingdom, whether that be in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, or ends of the earth.
That's right.
And what we have found in this environment, Mark, as you well know, is that God blesses churches that are blessing Him in that way.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely, with kingdom building.
Sure. And there's an exciting environment, atmosphere, mm-hmm. the life of the
congregation. It creates excitement, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It really does. And the thing, you know, some people say, well, we couldn't establish an offering for Acts 1-8 Challenge mm-hmm. or whatever. You know, this church didn't do that overnight. Mm-hmm. It was a process,
over
time
through, yeah. mm-hmm.
of starting where you are with what you have, mm-hmm. with what God brings your way. Mm-hmm. And as you're obedient in those little things, mm-hmm. you're faithful in the small things.
Amen.
God will entrust you with larger things.
Amen.
And so as I said in the beginning, I mean, this church was already on a train that was moving mm-hmm. in a missional direction mm-hmm. anyway. Mm-hmm. They had just started right where they were with what God had sent to them. And now God is beginning to expand that and to enlarge that reach mm-hmm. In ways that you could never imagine. Mm-hmm. Just like this people group that's moved into our community. If I hadn't had that connection with that little trip
Absolutely.
That I made after being in Thailand, mm-hmm. then who knows that we would have had
missed that opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But everybody can't go halfway around the world.
Yeah.
But people can go across town.
Yeah.
And can serve in some way or another. And so, you know, think right where you are and start where you are mm-hmm. rather than where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And just be faithful in those little things and seizing those opportunities that God leads your way
mm-hmm.
and then see where He takes it in the end.
I may have missed it, but did you share with us what Old Town is doing, members are doing related to Judea, state, region kind of activities and also Samaria type of opportunities?
Yeah, we have a number of ministries that are going on. We have a free medical clinic that is housed in our facilities.
Mm-hmm.
It meets two or three nights a month. Mm-hmm. It's on the first, third, and fifth Mondays every month. And mm-hmm. we service a population of people around our community that don't really have access to health care.
Mm-hmm.
We provide totally free services. We have a registered pharmacy on site. And we have treated in the last couple of years about 2,000 patients just through doctors and nurses and
referrals
other
and
medical
like
people in our church being available mm-hmm. to offer their gifts to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, our clinic starts registering people at 6:30 in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And people are lined up sometimes at 4 o'clock and 4:30 in the afternoon
wow.
because that need is so great.
Yeah.
And you know, it's amazing. Every time, we've never turned anybody away, as far
mm-hmm.
as I know.
Mm-hmm.
That no matter how many patients we have, and sometimes we see as many as 50 or 60 patients in a night
mm-hmm.
With the volunteer staff that we have there, we've never had to turn mm-hmm. anybody away.
It's a great testimony.
And we make it intentionally evangelistic. We're still growing in this area to bring that emphasis to
how to do it.
To that,
how
to do it most effectively.
Yeah.
You know, about 75% of our clientele in the clinic is Hispanic,
mm-hmm.
and so we have to work through translators.
Sure.
And, you know, so we're still trying to figure out how to get all that done most effectively.
Mm-hmm.
But we have had people come to faith in Christ even
mm-hmm.
recently.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few weeks ago, a couple of teenagers gave their hearts to Christ through the witnessing that goes on. So it's providing not only physical healing, but also spiritual healing for the hearts of people. And you'll see our members there praying with people
mm-hmm.
and sharing their testimony with people and giving witness to Christ
mm-hmm.
and holding hands and giving hugs and
mm-hmm.
caring and all this. So that's one of our incredible ministries that we have that I'm very excited about. We have a group that's going to work with the prison ministry. We have
mm-hmm.
some men who do Bible studies in the local prison. Coming up in a couple of weeks on Sunday evening, we're going to go over and help them lead the worship service there, provide music and a time of fellowship for those inmates who are there, who come to learn about Christ. We are involved hands-on in a number of ministries in the community. One of the things I'm excited about coming up this summer is a week of missions called Mission Winston-Salem. where we're going to partner with another church in our community that's larger than our church, and we're going to come alongside them in a program they have for a week-long local mission trip.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be involved in Vacation Bible School, community centers, sports camps, cheerleading clinics, doing some rehabilitation of housing and that kind of thing. This past Thursday, I was in West Virginia with a group of men from our congregation who are heavily involved in disaster relief. We've gone up there to explore a need we found out through a member of our church who used to live in that community in West Virginia. There's a lady whose house needs to be needs to have some major work done on it because she suffered a fire recently. There was no insurance involved there. And she has a daughter and a grandchild. And they're sort of living in a temporary housing right now that's not the best thing for them in the best location.
Right.
So we just went up this past Thursday to find out how to be involved there. It's just amazing, just the connections. If you look for connections,
like where God opens those doors.
That's right. And generally people respond best to it if it's through somebody they know.
Absolutely.
Like this man in our church. You know, we made a connection with a congregation in West Virginia. We're going to partner together and do that work together. They're going to bring the resources that they have. We're going to bring the resources that we have and work together to build the kingdom and reach out to the people in their community together.
Amen.
So that's some of what's going on.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk all day about it, but I'm sure we don't have that much time.
Well, Mark, if there are if there's someone out there that'd like to contact you or find out a little bit more about what's going on at Old Town, maybe could you share the web address and maybe a way they can get in touch with you?
Yeah. Our website is oldtownbaptist.org.
Okay.
So www.oldtownbaptist.org.
Okay.
And there's my email address is on there.
Okay.
Contact telephone number
okay.
for the congregation.
There's a phone number there too.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. Well, Mark, thanks for being with us today, and it's been good reconnecting with you and hear about what all God's doing through Old Town and
That's
you.
That's right.
All right.
Good to see you, and some really good coffee here.
Some good Java. Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
For more information about the Acts 1-8 Challenge or to register your church, go to www.acts18.com or call 1-800-4-ACTS-18.